Good morning, Joe Fisher.
Good morning.
We're talking about the Toledo point-shaving scandal. Is one of the games, basketball games, involved Vanderbilt in December of 2006, right after you guys lost to Furman, you faced Toledo and you guys win. Anything about that game that stuck out to you?
Well, I remember it was a great ball game, and Vanderbilt won, I think, in overtime in that game. It's kind of interesting to go back because it was a Vanderbilt team that was really kind of on the ropes at the time, and it turned out to be a very important win for Vanderbilt. It's kind of interesting reading this, and I'm not aware that any Vanderbilt people have been contacted about this at all to this point. I mean, whether they will or not, who knows? But you know, if you start reading statistics and look at the game, and supposedly a bet placed on the game, a large bet placed on the game by somebody. And a game that was, for those who know, something like a 4.5-point game, and it finished by 5, I can see where there would be some interest, you know, in that regard. But for Vanderbilt, it was a big game because, as you mentioned, the Furman loss, team was reeling a bit. It was a season that had the potential to unravel. And you'll remember later on, that's when Dan Cage became such an integral part of the team playing the four position, and that team went on to play very well in 06.
Pretty crazy.
Yep.
I texted Kevin Stallings yesterday and asked him specifically about A.J. Ogilvie, and he said all indications to him are that A.J.'s coming back, that A.J. was evaluated by the NBA. He did not get a first-round grade, so that encouraged him to come back. He does not think he's going to turn pro in Australia, so he has no reason to think that A.J. won't be in a Vanderbilt uniform next year.
No, neither do I. And I saw A.J. A few days ago and just, you know, talked to him briefly. We really didn't even talk about anything specific other than just, you know, what he was working out, and he never mentioned anything about, you know, leaving or going anywhere else. I think he realizes another good year in the SEC, at least with Vanderbilt, and a chance to be on a pretty good basketball team next year probably benefits him better. As you said, the NBA, I think, has him probably as a second-round choice now. So a good year, and he can certainly improve his stock.
Joe, what's the process for the basketball team after the season? Do they work out together? Are they do anything in the summer? Do they play any leagues together? Are they allowed to? Are they allowed to play in summer leagues on their own? How's that work?
No, they're not playing summer leagues. They do play a lot together, you know, on their own. They're allowed to do there are certain times where you're allowed to do some individual workouts or what are called individual workouts where you can have maybe two or three players at a time. So you can't really work on team things. It's supposed to be focused on individual development. So they can do some of that.
But they can go to the gym and say, hey, you know, we're going to go run it. We're going to go play at 3 and everyone
absolutely.
Show up.
Absolutely. The guys, the guys can get together on their own and say, hey, we're going to get together and play at 3 o'clock or play a pickup game or whatever. And they certainly are free and encouraged to do those kind of things to stay in basketball shape. There is a good chance they're working on the possibility of a summer trip this year for the team to go and quite possibly even, and I know Kevin was talking about trying to work it out, I don't know if they can or not, to go to Australia and play in the summer and play several games down there. They were working on that. I don't think they've got it finalized, but they would like to have the opportunity to take this team with its new elements involved and go and play some good quality talent in the summer.
And take the radio guys with them, too?
You know, I think it's probably a mandatory thing that these games be radio broadcast,
Yeah, you know, yeah. And of course you wouldn't bring your golf clubs.
No, heavens no.
No,
it's all business.
Yes,
totally
I was going to say, that's a no-no.
That's right.
All right, Joe, we know that the big money that John Calipari got to sign the contract to Kentucky. Did you hear about the house that he bought? How do you stretch a dollar in Lexington? And apparently the list price for his Love Shack, almost $2.3 million, 7 bedrooms, 8 full bathrooms.
What, did he buy that castle?
Yeah, exactly. 2 half bathrooms. Reminds me of Fisher Manor.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, that's every time I think of Lexington, I think of that castle-like home that's built just as you get off of the parkway. pulling into Lexington on New Circle, going toward New Circle Road, and it's that's what I thought of. That'd be a perfect place for him, I believe. But I don't know. It's, you know, he's got the money to spend, so, you know, more power to him.
All right, Joe, great stuff. And hey, by the way, you were never on the take for that Toledo Vanderbilt game. Let's make one thing perfectly clear.
Let's make that absolutely clear. I was not. Although I don't think it's illegal for radio broadcasters to be bought off in any way.
Exactly.
Get right down to it. So
all right.
Good note. Jeremy Sowers got called up. Is going to start against the Red Sox. He was pitching very well at Columbus. And also, quickly, season tickets for football on sale to the general public today, starting at 8:30.
Great, Joe. Speak to you again tomorrow.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe.